This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
2020 has been a year like no other.
We're going to talk about this forever, baby. They're going to talk about this forever. It's going to be special. They're going to talk about it forever, baby.
Y'all going to make a movie about this.
This football season is certain to follow that lead.
Might have been reading a press clipping and said they're so good because they didn't show up today.
Questions like never before surround every team, both on the field and off of it.
I'm not really sure what's going on down there and why they made this move.
Will Mahomes barbecue the record books?
At the 20-yard line and then spun down there, the first giant chunk of the game on third down and 15. And Mahomes guns it for 44 yards.
Can Brady recapture the jewels for a gang of Pirates?
The clock's ticking on everybody. We're going to have to work as hard as we can and not waste any minutes of any day.
Will Trevor Lawrence make the Tigers the kings of the jungle?
Lawrence takes a shot, then snap. Here comes pressure. Lawrence going to go and look long, wanting Ross. Ross makes a one-inning grab, and the Alabama 45 is knocked out of bounds.
Every week, the answers are right here, right now. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. D.A. Damon Amendolara with you each and every week here on Sunday Morning Football. Coming your way in 20 minutes, Mitch Moss, our friend in the desert, is going to join us to go over today's lines from an NFL lines perspective, odds makers perspective. We always get the advice and thoughts and analysis from our guys in the desert. That comes your way in 20 minutes from now. And in 40 minutes, our insider segment, which is those who are in and around the game discussing today's games. Week 11 of the NFL is here, and so glad you're with us. There's so many ways you can listen to the show. Check us out by listening across the great CBS Sports Radio Network on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on Sirius XM, Channel 206. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker if you want to have us on around the house. Just tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. And you can stream us. Take us with you on the go if you're out running some errands today, getting ready for your day of football or doing other things. Stream us using the CBS Sports app on your phone or the radio.com app on your phone or tablet as well. We begin this hour, as always, by coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
30 plus years of service. Only man to shoot down 3 enemy planes in the last 40 years.
Attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot.
The end is inevitable, Maverick. You're kind of headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
We knew that in the bigger picture, Michigan's season was lost with the way that things had begun, but yesterday, last night in Piscataway, New Jersey, at the very least, Michigan should be able to dismiss easily of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I mean, remember that perennially when Harbaugh's been at Michigan, playing Rutgers has been a 50, 60, or 70-point spread. So this should not be a game. I know that Michigan's season has not been what it was supposed to be, but still, there would be no excuse to be in a tight game against Rutgers, let alone losing to the Scarlet Knights. And yet, here we were last night, where Michigan needed Rutgers to miss a field goal and then getting pushed to triple overtime to finally survive Rutgers of all teams. Here's how it sounded on Learfield IMG College.
Vedral is in the gun. He's got two backs to either side. Sends Pacheco in motion. He's back to throw. Pumps. A lot of time. Looks, throws deep in the end zone. That ball is intercepted. Michigan wins the football game. 48-42 with a stop in triple overtime.
As I said, I mean, that game could have gone either way. I felt both teams played their hearts out. Made plays. Guys were having at it.
In the Jim Harbaugh era, okay, here are some of the scores between Michigan and Rutgers. 49-16, 35-14, 42-7. Last year was 52-0. And once upon a time with Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines, and this one was in Piscataway, Michigan won 78-0. These have been the scores between Michigan and Rutgers since the Scarlet Knights entered the Big Ten. Again, 49-16, 35-14, 42-7, 52-0, and 78-0. Last night, Michigan needed triple overtime and a missed field goal by Rutgers, and then gave up what was a great play call in the double overtime to Rutgers as Javonte Hawkins took it in from 25 yards out of the pass back, which was just phenomenal. Michigan is really lucky to have won that football game, and the fact that it ends up being 48-42 last night in triple overtime tells me two things. It tells me how far Michigan has fallen and how far Rutgers has come in a short amount of time. Greg Schiano's not for everybody. And maybe Greg Schiano only works at Rutgers. Maybe his Jersey roots and his first time around doing this back in the 90s and 2000s gave him a secret sauce that only he has. But you have to realize how much of a disaster this is, that Michigan needs three overtimes to survive the Scarlet Knights last night. It just felt like early on, and mind you, that Rutgers led this game 17-0 at one point in the second quarter. 17-0 Rutgers. It just has felt like Michigan, its team, its locker room, its players, not responding to Harbaugh. I don't know if Harbaugh's heart is in this. I don't know if he's already looking for an out, an exit strategy. I don't know if there is an exit strategy because, ironically, while he gets temperamental and restless, he usually has a soft landing spot to go to. And right now, it doesn't seem like he does. Seems like there's not a lot of programs or NFL teams that are interested. And so maybe Harbaugh doesn't have another opportunity somewhere else. The one bright spot of last night was a Michigan offense desperately seeking its quarterback, found one in Cade McNamara. He was excellent last night. McNamara threw for 260 yards and then four touchdowns, no interceptions. You saw his emotion on the sideline. You saw his leadership qualities. That's the one thing you can take away from last night because everything else is a true embarrassment. Meantime, in the NFL, today, in Baltimore, the Baltimore Ravens have a serious gut check game coming up today.
One more time, Ryan Tannehill. In the victory formation, he takes a knee in his 100th start. Ryan Tannehill has led the Titans to a victory that is leading them for the first time in 17 years to the American Football Conference Championship game.
It's not a revenge game, you know. The game is over with, you know, it was last year. We just fell short, can't do anything about it. You know, we just going into this game trying to be 7-3. Lamar, so we're looking into it like a revenge game. Every game is a big game, you know, and we want to win them all. You know, unfortunately, we didn't win three of them. Out of the nine we done played so far, so we just got to go in here, focus up, work hard, start today in practice, keep our head on our shoulders, keep our head held high, just go out there and play football.
Lamar Jackson insists that this is not a revenge game, but that was the final call from Mike Keith on Titans radio last year, the January divisional round, where the Ravens were the one seed, the best record of the AFC, home field advantage throughout the postseason, and lost in their first playoff game to this Tennessee Titans squad. So they don't want to call it a revenge game, that's fine, but it needs to be a revenge game, and here's why. This is a serious gut check for the Ravens. For Baltimore, yes, they're 6-3. But for the Ravens, their losses have been to teams that they need to beat and measure themselves up against. They lost to the Chiefs again 3 years in a row with Lamar Jackson early in the season. They also lost to the Steelers. Again, this is your division. This is your rival. Unable to get over that Steelers hump. And last week against the Patriots, granted, this Pats team is nowhere near previous Pats teams, but Ravens Pats has been a measuring stick, a barometer in the AFC, very oftentimes deciding playoff seeding and who goes where in January. Those are the three losses. Those are the games, those are the teams you must measure yourself against. And they're 6-3, which is fine. They're in the playoff hunt. But if they lose today at home to the Titans, it once again brings to fruition the idea that the Ravens are good, but not good enough to do anything in the playoffs. They're good, but they can't beat the really good teams, which is what you need to do when it matters most. Also note that the Ravens at 6-3, if they lose today to fall to 6-4, would then have to come back in a short week in Pittsburgh Thanksgiving night this week. Again, they'll play Thursday night after today. So this is an enormous game for the Ravens. They need this game to A, prove that they can hang with the bullies of the teams that they have been unable to get over the hump on recently in beating the Titans, especially at home, but also not to risk with a loss today, a short week going to Pittsburgh and losing again because they lose today. And on Thursday, they fall to 6-5. And right now, in terms of the six-win teams of the AFC, there's more of them than ever before. Historically speaking, there's never been this many 6-3 teams going into this late in the season. So the AFC is a brutal, brutal grouping right now to try to make the playoffs if the Ravens don't figure out a way to win today's game against a Titans team that obviously is in the same boat as 6-3, looking to stack wins and make sure their playoff seeding is solidified. Finally tonight, two other playoff hopeful teams, the Chiefs and the Raiders, do business from Las Vegas. And the only loss the Chiefs have had handed to them this year is by this Raiders team. It's the only loss that the Chiefs have had. And when you look at things going into the later part of the season, the Chiefs need to win this game to stay pace, keep pace with the Pittsburgh Steelers for that number one seed and the only bye in the AFC. I think the Chiefs today are going to flex on this Vegas Raiders team.
Here's Mahomes back into the pocket. It holds, fires deep down the middle, intercepted. It is picked off by the Raiders. Jeff Heath, 20, 15, 10, 5. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. First down and goal at the 2-yard line.
We look forward to the challenge of playing the Raiders. Know they're a good football team, well coached. This is a good football team that we're preparing for them. We got to make sure you study and get to know them and make sure you can correlate the scheme that you have with what their scheme is and work it.
If we go back to the first meeting between these two teams, the Raiders end up winning at Arrowhead Stadium and drive the team bus around Arrowhead for a victory lap. That play-by-play was from Brent Musburger on Raiders Radio. Which is interesting because Andy Reid of the Chiefs did not take kindly to that. Now, John Gruden explained it very briefly this week. He didn't want to get into it, but said that the guy that drove the team bus happened to be a Chiefs fan. They wanted to shove it in his face that they had won in Kansas City. Okay? Whatever it was, I think it has sparked the Chiefs. I think Kansas City absolutely knows that they need this game because, again, if you fall behind by two games this late going to Thanksgiving for that race for the one seed against the Steelers, boy, you might not catch them. Hard to imagine that the Steelers lose more than two games the rest of the way since they're still undefeated. And I would say that for the Chiefs, I think they've had a struggle this year being properly motivated, having come off the championship last year, having come off back-to-back elite regular seasons. I think the Chiefs have struggled this season to play their very best football, and yet they're still 8-1 on the season. I don't know if they've played their very best complete football yet, and I think that they're waiting for a reason to do so. When you look at their schedule, they played a lot of middling teams. The Panthers last week, close game. The Jets a couple of weeks ago, in which they exploded against them. But they've also played the Patriots when the Pats obviously weren't very good in that kind of meandering game earlier in October. They beat the Chargers early in the season, the Texans early in the season. The Chiefs haven't had a lot of really good reasons to get really up. I think tonight will be one of those times. They also have the Buccaneers next Sunday. These are back-to-back weeks where I think you'll see a much better Chiefs team than maybe we've seen them toy with some lesser opponents over the course of the season. I think the Chiefs look for revenge. I think they want the Raiders, and I think they want an excuse to hit on all cylinders. I think you'll see that tonight in the desert. It's Sunday Morning Football here on CBS Sports Radio, and when we come back, we'll look at things from a Vegas perspective, an oddsmaker's perspective. Our friend Mitch Moss is going to join us to look at today's NFL action from a lines perspective. Let's get the odds on all of this and the analysis on it next. DA Damon Amendolara here on CBS Sports Radio.
Winners, whiners, wise guys. Every week we scour the NFL odds to see where you should plunk down your scratch.
Place your bet.
Sunday Morning Football, making wagering fun again.
You win.
Glad you're back with us here on CBS Sports Radio. Damon Amendolara with you here on the network and Sunday Morning Football, where we break down the action from college football Saturday and preview the NFL action on a Sunday. Week 11 of the NFL. And joining us is the host of Follow the Money, weekday morning, 7 until 10 Eastern Time on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dropping on by is Mitch Moss. Mitch, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, DA. Thanks for having me again.
My pleasure. Always good to catch up with you. I want to throw out some of the numbers that caught my eye. I want to start with the Jets and the Chargers. This is a 9.5-point spread in favor of the Chargers. They're 9.5-point favorites. Now, the Chargers collapse and give up leads every single week, and the Jets actually play toe-to-toe with the Patriots last time out. What do you think about the Jets plus 9.5? I know it's dangerous because they're winless on the season, but is that a big number for a Chargers defense that can't hold leads?
I would not be laying 9.5 with your money or any of your listeners' money in this game with the Chargers. It is Anthony Lynn that we're talking about. And I saw a great stat this week. Teams that have lost games by one score every single time so far this year. The Steelers are on the list because they haven't lost a game. The Chiefs lost a game only once this year, and that was by 8 points. And the Chargers are actually the other team. They only have 2 wins on the entire season. So what you see is what you get for this team, this coach, and it's been like this now for a long time. I don't know. There must be something like in this organization's water because they create different ways to like lose these games every single week. I'm not going to be surprised if the Jets get their first win. I know that they're really, really bad. I mean, that's the obvious here, right? But coming off of a week, they showed some life against the Patriots. They are professionals. Do you think pros are going to be okay with being on a winless team throughout their life when they look back? I don't think so. They're going to have pride at some point, and I have a problem laying that many points with a team that struggles to put teams away. I can't do it. And so, yeah, I'm not going to be laying 9.5 today at any point with the Chargers.
Yeah, it's weird to have faith in the Jets. That always feels like a dangerous proposition. However, 9.5 is a lot of points for a Chargers team that cannot hold on to leads. Meantime, the second highest total in the week of the NFL is coming to us from Packers and Colts. The highest total is going to be Chiefs and Raiders at 57. Packers-Colts are at 51.5. Now, knowing how good the Colts defense is, what do you think about playing the under on Packers-Colts today?
Sure, I could buy into that at 51.5. I do think, here's the thing with like the Colts, right? It took me a while to buy in on the defense and all of the advanced metrics for the first like 3 or 4 weeks of the season. We're saying, oh my God, look at how they stack up against, you know, recent great teams on that side of the ball. And they're like right there with them. Like, well, hold on a second here because they haven't played anybody. But now over the past couple of weeks, you know, they did play the Ravens extremely tough in that game. The offense just couldn't produce any points for them. The following week, last Thursday night, look at what they did against the Titans team on offense, who had been great for most of the season. Tannehill couldn't do anything. They could never establish Derrick Henry. And so usually for the Titans, like, they're going to get one aspect of their game going. Either it's going to be Henry on the ground or Tannehill in the air. Neither one could really do it. So, it took me about half the season to buy in. I do think the defense is, very strong. Phillip Rivers has, for what it's worth, he does have great career numbers against Green Bay. But they're going to have all these guys that we thought maybe for Green Bay that were not going to be available today. They are going to be available, including Devontae Adams and a couple of guys on defense. So 51.5, sure, I'm on board.
Mitch Moss joins us, our Vegas virtuoso, this morning. The biggest NFL storyline, I think, coming into today is who is going to start under center for the New Orleans Saints. And we get the word the other day. It's going to be Taysom Hill. Now, the Saints are 3.5-point favorites at home against a Falcons team that's been out of it for a while, but playing much more inspired football now that Raheem Morris has taken over from the fired Dan Quinn. Do you think that Taysom Hill and the unknown makes the Saints more or less dangerous today in terms of their offensive output?
See, I think I would have gone with, and now we're getting reports this morning, DA, that some of the players on the team were surprised. They thought actually Winston should have been the quarterback. I would have gone with Winston. I did see a great stat on these two teams or on these two quarterbacks on Twitter earlier this morning. Winston has 11 career pick sixes. Taysom Hill does not have 11 career completions. So, right. Isn't that nuts? So I kind of get what you're saying about, you know, you try him out there, kind of the unknown. But I think that kind of works in short sample sizes with Taysom Hill, where they can kind of run out the gimmick plays. And then rather than being like a full game where he's going to be under center for, let's say, I don't know, 50-plus snaps. I liked Atlanta earlier in the week plus the 5 when it looked like it was going to be Winston. As of right now, I would not have a play on the game other than maybe teasing the Falcons up to like 9.5. And this team, by the way, they've been playing better, you know, since they fired Dan Quinn. With Hill versus Winston, though, to me, I would have gone with Winston. I think that even though, despite the fact that he's easy to laugh at and make fun of, I think he's more proven at that position, and he's probably the better guy to go today.
And Breeze, when he went down last week, the initial reaction by Sean Payton was to start Jameis Winston in that second half, not to go to Taysom Hill full-time. Titans and Ravens in Baltimore today. Now, this is a rematch of the divisional round last year. Of course, the Titans end up going to Baltimore and winning. Now, the Titans have their own sets of issues, but the Ravens have yet to really beat one of those top-tier teams. I guess Tennessee doesn't necessarily qualify as one of those, but this is a big number. Baltimore laying 6 today at home against the Titans against a team that had their number last year in January. Is it that far-fetched to think that the Titans could go to Baltimore again and win today?
You know, you've heard all week probably, certainly I have, and a lot today, that this is the revenge game from that AFC title spot. You know, the Ravens did put up more than 500 yards in that game, but it was just the short yardage situations where they could never really pick up that additional first down, keep drives going. I do like Tennessee plus 6 points in this game. Additional time to get ready for it, 10 full days now as they were playing in the game on Thursday night. And, you know, Lamar Jackson, simply put, is not the same guy who won the MVP a year ago. And I heard a great comparison a couple of weeks back, and it makes sense to me. If you go back and look, Greg Roman is the offensive coordinator for the Ravens. This is now year two with Lamar Jackson. Well, when Colin Kaepernick first came on the scene with the 49ers, right, like nobody could suddenly stop that offense. They were running the RPOs, and Kaepernick would kill you on the ground or in the air. And then eventually in year two, what happened? They got away from the RPOs and defenses, had enough tape, and they caught up with Kaepernick. It's year two now with Greg Roman and Lamar Jackson in this Ravens offense. I think that makes a lot of sense because they had a lot of the personnel back from last year. They added guys in the offseason, but they're not clicking overall offensively. And I'll tell you what, if this team falls behind against Tennessee and they can maybe establish Derrick Henry on the ground and just keep the ball out of, I have no confidence in the Ravens coming back if they get in a hole with the way that he's passing the ball. So, yeah, I like Tennessee plus 6.
Mitch Moss joins us, our Vegas virtuoso. Tonight, Sunday Night Football, Chiefs and Raiders. The only loss the Chiefs have been handed this year has been to the Raiders earlier this season. That hook is really interesting here. The half point, it's a 7.5-point line. The Chiefs are favored on the road. Boy, the Raiders played them so well in week number one, or the first meeting, rather. They're at home tonight. Is this too big a number for the Chiefs to be laying 7.5 on the road tonight?
It is a large number, and I do think the Raiders are pretty underrated. I mean, they have a very nice resume when you look at some of their wins. The Chiefs, like you mentioned, they have a win over the Saints. Like, which teams in football can say they beat the Chiefs and the Saints this year outside of the Raiders? Like, that's it. That's the list, right? And that second half they played in Arrowhead a couple, you know, the first time they met, like you brought up. That second half, I actually think the final score was misleading. I thought the Raiders dominated the second half, and defensively they were great. Now, that said, again, I will bring this up. It is a revenge game because of what happened in week one, or the first time they met. And Andy Reid, this is well known, obviously. He's 18-3 off of a bye. This game today will be like it'll be on every single teaser. When you want to tease the game down like 6, 6.5, 7 points, this will be the most popular game on teasers, along with probably the Vikings and maybe the Packers. So just a Chiefs win outright will be probably a bad result for a lot of books. But laying 7.5 points, I don't love the Chiefs laying 7.5, but I'm also not going to back the Raiders grabbing that many either.
Finally, Mitch, Eagles and Browns, one of the early games in Cleveland today. The Browns are favored by 2.5 points. The Browns seem to be a better football team. The Eagles have a lot of problems. Philadelphia coming off a 10-point loss to the New York Giants last week, and Carson Wentz cannot find his way out of a paper bag right now. So, is a safe play taken? The Browns at home laying 2.5?
Well, down from 3.5 here, and, you know, I want nothing to do with backing Carson Wentz at this point. Simply put, he's just not the same guy that he was last year, let alone the season in which he was probably going to win the MVP when the Eagles went on to win the Super Bowl. The only way I think this game would actually, now that said, I would take the Eagles in a teaser up through the key numbers of 3 and through 7. Miles Garrett is out. I don't think he's worth a lot to the betting number per se. But again, this is going to be a battle of like, who do you trust more? Who do you trust the least, I guess, between Baker Mayfield and Carson Wentz? It's a stay away game for me, unless I'll get involved teasing that up with the Eagles all the way up to 8.5.
Mitch Moss joining us this morning here on the show. He's got great coverage of the NFL. If you enjoy what we just did, check him out on Twitter at Mitch Moss Radio. He's the host of Follow the Money. You can listen to him as well weekday morning, 7 until 10 Eastern time on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch, it's always good to catch up, my man. Thanks so much for doing it. We'll catch up again soon.
DA, you're too nice. Happy Thanksgiving week.
Back at you. Mitch Moss joining us this morning here on the show. Great stuff. Every single week, we break things down from a Vegas perspective and look ahead to the NFL weekend from the odds makers. So listen to us every single week right here on CBS Sports Radio and Sunday Morning Football for that type of inside intel. When we come back here on the show, we have the insiders. Big topics around the game from those who played the game. Rich Gannon, former NFL MVP, warning Trevor Lawrence about the pitfalls of potentially being drafted by the New York Jets. And Deuce McAllister, a member of the Saints Hall of Fame, on whether Taysom Hill is a viable starting quarterback not only today, but also in the future when Drew Brees retires. It's all coming up here next. Plus, is there any appetite for Jim Harbaugh in the NFL if he wants to leave this offseason? It's not pretty right now in Ann Arbor. It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio, standing by with their headlines. Here's Kevin Dexter.
CBS Television Sports presents the National Football League.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, DA. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's all.
It's time for The Insiders.
I'll knock you out.
And a reminder that our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work. So get a quote. That's at geico.com, and that's easy. As always, we thank you for being with us here on Sunday Morning Football, everybody. Damon Amendolara, DA, with you. And we start with our insider segment, looking inside the number one pick in the draft. Will it be Trevor Lawrence? Lawrence's Clemson Tigers game against the Florida State Seminoles was canceled yesterday due to COVID. And so once again, we wait and wait and wait some more for Lawrence to finally come back on the football field. But it still has not seemed to depress the notion that he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. And right now, the only winless team in the NFL is the New York Jets. So what about the fit of Trevor Lawrence and the Jets? Trevor has referenced earlier in the season that he has kept the door open to returning to Clemson next season, whether that's true or not. Maybe it's just leverage. Who knows? But I had Rich Gannon on the show earlier in the week from the NFL on CBS, former Oakland Raiders MVP at quarterback. And I asked Rich, who calls games each and every week and will be calling the game this week between the Chargers and Jets, what he thinks about the potential pitfalls of being drafted by the New York Jets. Here was Rich Gannon.
When you look at these organizations, the thing that you want to look at is stability, right? Is there stability with the ownership? Is there stability with the general manager? Is there stability with the head coach? Is there stability with the play caller? Is there stability with the roster? And I'm not so sure you can make that argument with the Jets. You know, you don't know if the head coach is going to come back. You don't know how many more, you know, head coaches the general manager is going to get to hire. And, you know, that to me is not a good situation. It's not just whether Trevor Lawrence is ready to play right away, which I think he is. It's also, is the team ready for a young quarterback? In other words, do we have a good offensive line? Do we have a good running game? Do we have talented players on the perimeter? Do we have a good defense that we can hang our hat on? And the answer to all those questions is really, you know, no. And so, you know, it's going to be a work in progress, and there's going to be a lot of growing pains, and there's going to be a lot of rough Sunday afternoons. And, you know, it's, you know, the situation that Ben Roethlisberger went to when he went to Pittsburgh, when they had Jerome Bettis and the best defense in football, very different than what, you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to step into if he comes to the Jets.
So an interesting conversation with Rich Gannon about the Trevor Lawrence situation. And the one thing that I would say is that I think Trevor Lawrence will end up accepting going to the Jets if that's who he ends up being drafted by, number one overall. We all assume he is going to be the number one overall pick unless something unforeseen happens. I think he would end up going to New York, and here's why. Odds are 99% obvious that they're going to get rid of Adam Gase by the end of the season. And so I'm sure if the Jets have any smarts in their brain, you would reach out to Trevor Lawrence's representatives or make sure through back channels you get a guy that you're hiring that Lawrence would be excited to play for or accepting to play for. Not that you want the number one pick in the draft and a college quarterback to hold you hostage, but you want your franchise guy to be in sync with who his head coach is going to be. So if that's the case, and you'd be crazy not to try to make sure you have a coach that can enhance and get the most out of a potential franchise guy like that, what you do is now you've aligned your franchise quarterback with your head coach. And if that's the case, you've already got the two most important pieces lined up to win in the NFL. Certainly there's more to it than just that. But as we've seen in Arizona, if you get the quarterback and the coach right, they are symbiotic. They work together and they believe in one another. And you've got a coach that's helping the quarterback get better and the quarterback that's executing the game plan that the coach wants. You've already won half the battle in the NFL. So that's why I think even if it is going to be Joe Douglas, and Douglas is basically handpicked by Adam Gase to hire his first head coach, and he doesn't have a track record in New York of doing this, and you've got some questions about that when it comes to what Rich Gannon said, I do think if the Jets are smart, you make sure your coach is aligned with Trevor Lawrence and you give him a spot that he wants to be in. He must understand that going to New York provides a lot of opportunities to do things that maybe you've always wanted to do, to have different media opportunities, sponsorship opportunities, etc. I think it can be a good situation if the Jets play this right, which is why I don't think that Trevor Lawrence will say no. Now, I do realize that saying if the Jets play this right is also a risk unto itself. Let's hear from Pete Thamel, senior writer for Yahoo Sports covering college football and college basketball. And I asked him this week, look, Jim Harbaugh's season's been a disaster in Michigan. It feels like he is inching his way out the door by not signing that extension. Next year's his final year under contract, and that almost never happens in college football if the head coach wants to come back and if the administration wants him to come back. So what gives there? And what Pete described is there might not be a greener grass out there for Harbaugh. Here's Pete Thamel.
I really feel very little appetite for Jim Harbaugh right now, Damon, in the NFL. He won 69.5% of his games in San Francisco. He's actually the fifth winningest coach by winning percentage in the history of the National Football League.
Wow.
But his exit was so bad, so dark, so destructive. Anyone who picks up the phone and calls Jed York, they are not hiring Jim Harbaugh. If you are a GM, he has a reputation as a GM killer. So it would take an owner to be totally infatuated with him. And look, if everything goes right, Michigan goes 3-5. It's hard to be infatuated with a GM-killing, scorched-earth guy who can't even, you know, be in the top half of the Big Ten East. It's just a tough sell for season ticket holders, for everybody, because the one thing Jim Harbaugh has shown at every stop is he has a shelf life. The adrenaline wears off, and day-to-day, he's a strange guy who's hard to work with. And ultimately, if you're going to be as weird as he is, you need results, and the results clearly aren't there.
Pete, is that Harbaugh has the name, he's got the Q rating, but right now he doesn't have the resume to bounce off of to go into the NFL. His NFL stop at San Francisco had very good success early on, three consecutive NFC Championship game appearances and the Super Bowl appearance, but then ended with a whimper going 8-8 and him at odds, scorched earth with Jed York and the Niners organization. So there's going to be, I'm sure, NFL teams that reach out to the Niners and say, hey, what happened there? And what they would get was that Harbaugh was impossible to work with. You can deal with that if you know he's going to win. But if he's coming off this Michigan season and they are getting plastered by lesser teams and then they're nearly losing to Rutgers last night, and they're maybe 3-5, maybe they're 2-6. They're not going to a bowl game. How can you, in good conscience, spend good money on Jim Harbaugh? It just doesn't seem to make much sense. So that's an interesting piece of the puzzle here. I think Harbaugh's restless. I think what is happening in Michigan is an embarrassment. The fact that Rutgers took you to triple overtime last night is totally unacceptable, considering you have a history of beating this team by 70 points. But it takes Harbaugh having a different landing spot for him to actually leave. Is he going to leave Michigan for another college coaching job? Well, he would probably leave for an NFL coaching job. But what happens if there's no NFL coaching jobs that want him? And finally, here's Deuce McAllister, who was a all-pro running back for the New Orleans Saints and a member of their Saints Hall of Fame, talking about Taysom Hill being under center today, a starting quarterback for the Saints.
I think he would be up for that challenge. The question is his style of play. How much of his style of play would have to change for him to be successful and for that team to be successful? I mean, because Taysom's a violent runner, and if you're going to be the starting quarterback, you have to be available, or you at least want to be available all 16 games. And I think the style of play would have to change, and some of the things that they do would have to change from the offensive philosophy. But I think he would be up to the challenge for being the starting quarterback in the NFL.
The Taysom Hill situation is so intriguing because for years now, Sean Payton has explained and insisted Taysom Hill is more valuable than what we see. That Hill, who's already 30 years old, who's nothing more than a gadget player in this offense, occasionally an RPO, an H-back slash pseudo wildcat quarterback, that what we see, limited snaps, limited passing attempts, limited completions, limited touchdowns thrown, all of that, this is Sean Payton saying, you don't see what you think you see. Okay. Hey, Sean Payton is one of the best offensive minds we have in the NFL. He has won a Super Bowl. He has helped the Saints to its most successful run ever in franchise history. So do you defer to Sean Payton and go, you must know something that we don't. We don't see him in practice. We don't see the X's and O's in the film room. You're seeing something different. Of course. Okay. But the fact that last year, when Drew Brees was injured for a significant amount of time, they went to Teddy Bridgewater. And that last Sunday, when Brees was injured again, they went to Jameis Winston and had signed Jameis Winston in the offseason, having Taysom Hill already on the roster, would suggest that what Sean Payton is telling us is not necessarily authentic. It's not necessarily honest. Because if Taysom Hill was way more than what you guys just see, well, he would be the starting quarterback when Drew Brees would be injured, right? He's going to get the start today. Now, this is a really interesting spot for him because the Saints are favored. They're at home. They're 7-2. And it's a Saints squad that needs to make sure it keeps winning because that battle for the number one seed, again, it's no longer the top two seeds get a bye. It's just the top seed. Now, right now, that's the Packers. It's 7-2. They hold the tiebreaker over the 7-2 Saints because they won the head-to-head battle. If the Saints lose, all these games are super important for the Packers, for the Saints, for the Seahawks at 7-3, for the Buccaneers at 7-3. So Taysom Hill has pressure on him today. And will we see Sean Payton with a quick hook if Taysom Hill does not end up performing well? Is this really a true starting job for Taysom Hill until Drew Brees comes back? Is it going to be a week-by-week decision? Is it going to be both of these guys in there? Who knows? Everything is on the table. But after giving Hill all the money that they did in the offseason, we finally get to see him under center. And also a first look at, okay, what does that look like? Because is he the heir apparent to Drew Brees? That's another part of this. Brees, I don't think, is coming back in 2 weeks, okay? So this is an elongated audition. And then I don't think Drew Brees is coming back next year at all. So this is an audition for next year as well as the here and the now. It's all very interesting, and it starts today against the Falcons at the Superdome. Here's your playoff standings, okay? Here's where we stand. In the NFC, your one seed is the Packers at 7-2. The Saints are the two seed at 7-2. The Seahawks are 7-3. The Eagles leading the NFC East at a dreadful 3-5-1. Buccaneers, Rams, Cardinals would be your wild card teams. In the AFC, the Steelers are the one seed. Chiefs are the two. Bills are the three. Colts the four. Then Raiders, Dolphins, and Ravens would be your wild cards. Thanks to Connor Green, executive producer, Anthony Pierno on the Wheels of Steel, and Kevin Dexter on your headlines. I'm DA. Enjoy your football, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow morning on the DA Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.